Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's Hot Topics call, sponsored by the International Nutrition Education Division. My name is Kayla Jenkins, and I am the Communications Coordinator at the Society for Nutrition Education and Behavior, and I'm glad you all could join us for our discussion today. Just as a reminder, be sure to go ahead and mute yourself whenever you aren't speaking or asking a question, just so that everyone can hear the presenter clearly. And also, this call is being recorded, so watch for a follow-up email that will go out by the end of the day on Friday this week, and it will include a link to the recording for the session, as well as any additional resources that are shared. So now I will introduce our speaker today, Dr. Janann Banna. Dr. Banna is the Associate Professor and Graduate Chair of Nutrition at the University of Hawaii at Manoa. So the presentation today is focused on her current research, which is on preventing excessive gestational weight gain in women in Hawaii WIC using short mobile messages. This project is a randomized controlled trial that involves sending nutrition education messages via text message over the span of 4 months. So now I would pass it over to our presenter.
Thank you very much for having me. So this study is being conducted in collaboration with Dr. Cristina Palacios at Florida International University, and we are still currently collecting data. So today I'm going to speak a bit about some of the background information for the study and talk about development of some of the messages for the study and how we are going about conducting this trial. So to start with a bit of background, excess weight gain during pregnancy is associated with adverse outcomes during and after pregnancy. We have an increased incidence of gestational diabetes and labor and delivery complications with excess weight gain during pregnancy. And approximately 60% of overweight women gain excessive weight during pregnancy. And low-income women are particularly at risk of overweight and obesity. And we know that interventions using text message may be a cost-effective way to deliver education to low-income women, and they may be embedded into programs such as WIC. And we haven't had any studies yet examining the effectiveness of nutrition education delivered via text in preventing excessive gestational weight gain in the low-income population in Hawaii. So that's the focus of our study. So I'm going to be describing development and implementation of the intervention aiming to pilot test weekly text messages to prevent excessive gestational weight gain in low-income women in WIC in Hawaii today. Our target population for the study is 100 pregnant women with overweight or obesity participating in the WIC program. And our inclusion criteria are age 18 years or older, have a gestational age 15 to 20 weeks, have a first trimester BMI 25 to 45, cell phone ownership with the capacity to receive 1 to 2 messages weekly. So they needed to be able to receive free text messages from us every week. So we screened our participants for eligibility. We had them fill out a consent form, and we then obtained their first weight early in pregnancy and had them complete a demographic form. We randomly assigned them to intervention or control group, had a 4-month intervention period, and then obtained the last weight before delivery and asked them to participate in an interview to give us some feedback about the text messages they received. So in terms of the focus of our intervention messages, we focused on promoting appropriate energy intake and physical activity for healthy weight gain in pregnancy. So we encourage participants via text to drink water rather than sugar-sweetened beverages, consume sufficient fruits and vegetables, to be conscious of their portion size, and engage in moderate activity for at least 20 to 30 minutes per day. And in terms of development of the messages, we developed 18 messages of 160 characters or less, focused on reinforcing WIC's recommendations for pregnant women. And in terms of testing of the messages, we engaged in a procedure known as cognitive testing. And I've used this procedure quite a bit in numerous studies focused on development of messages for educational campaigns, as well as development of questionnaires. And so this procedure allows us to understand how well potential participants in our study understand the messages or questionnaire items. So to test our messages, we worked with 5 pregnant WIC participants ages 18 years or older between 15 to 20 weeks of gestation. And we asked participants to state the meaning of their messages in their own words and also asked them how to make the messages clearer. And in terms of the control group messages, rather than sending information about nutrition and physical activity, we sent them messages about general health and pregnancy. So, for example, we advised them to visit a physician regularly for periodic checkups, to get adequate sleep during pregnancy. We advised them about issues like yeast infections and other health-related topics. And we also assess the readability of our messages. We use the Flesch-Kincaid formula to determine the reading level. And this formula takes into account the length of sentences as well as the length of words. And so there, we focused on using short sentences and simple words to make the messages appropriate for a low-income audience. And once we were done with cognitive testing, as well as the assessment of readability, we had our messages reviewed by an OBGYN with experience in the low-income population. So she gave us some recommendations in terms of any other modifications needed to the wording of the messages. And in terms of delivery of the intervention messages, 4 months, and we found through assessment of readability that our messages were at a 5th grade reading level, so they were appropriate for a low literacy audience. And you may be wondering how exactly we sent people these text messages. We used a platform, online platform, that allowed us to send the messages and to receive responses from participants. So we used the Easy Texting website to do this. And both the sent and the received messages were stored on the study website. And we are able to receive on the website questions that the participants have in response to the text messages. And we also send them questions throughout the study to ask about how much they like the messages and whether the messages were convenient to receive. So we had some questions that focused on evaluating the text message that we also sent this way. So participants were asked to then respond to our questions via text. So we encouraged them to respond with questions or comments. And in terms of the outcomes of our study, we're going to be looking at excessive gestational weight gain and whether our intervention had any impact on weight gain in pregnancy, and whether we see any difference between the intervention and the control group. So we're going to be looking at the difference between the last weight taken before delivery and the first weight taken early in pregnancy from the participant's chart in WIC. And we will define excessive gestational weight gain as more than 25 pounds of weight gain for an overweight woman and more than 20 pounds for an obese woman, according to the Institute of Medicine guidelines. And we're also going to be looking at acceptability of the intervention as another outcome. So as I mentioned, we sent people short questions by text asking them about how much they liked receiving the messages and whether they were a nuisance or convenient to receive. So we asked them to respond to those questions via text. And then, as I mentioned, we also interviewed participants at the end of the trial to allow them to make open comments about the text. So we have a qualitative interview at the end to determine how acceptable the intervention was. So this pilot trial is going to demonstrate the size of the effect of the intervention on outcomes and assess acceptability necessary to inform a full-scale study. And if this is successful, we anticipate that this intervention may be easily adopted as best practices by WIC to prevent excessive gestational weight gain. So that's just a brief overview of the study, and I would like to use the majority of the time for discussion. So I'll first ask if anybody has any questions, and if not, I have a few discussion questions that I can pose as well.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. This is Sarah Beckwith, and I am a SNAP Ed program manager in Washington, D.C. And we initiated a text messaging program with parents of children in daycare. And so had a couple questions. How did you recruit the women? Did you do in-person recruitment events? Did you administer like a pre-survey during that time? I guess I have a few questions. Did you provide any type of incentive for them, be it some type of item or monetary, to complete the pre-survey? And where did you get the funding? I'm not allowed to use, we cannot use SNAP Ed dollars for incentives, like as a gift card to complete a survey. And then the, it sounds like they're kind of like process eval questions that you messaged to the moms. What was your response rate on those? We haven't had a very good response rate on our process eval messages.
Sure. Happy to respond to those questions. So, with regards to the first question, about recruitment, so we used several different strategies. One was we worked with WIC to identify women in the database who were between the weeks of gestation we were targeting. We then called those women and screened them over the phone. And if they were eligible and interested in participating, we then met them in person at the WIC site to enroll them in the study. In addition to that, we used in-person methods as well. On a few occasions, I had a research assistant at the WIC site recruiting that way. I don't think we got too many participants using that method, as usually it was most effective to identify them in the database and reach out to them. We also used posters and flyers to advertise the study. So those were the main recruitment tactics. I should mention that we did have some difficulty with recruitment, and I'm still going to be investigating all of the different reasons why recruitment was a bit on the slow side. So I may be looking to write up a paper on that to inform future trials in WIC. So it definitely recruitment proceeded at a slower pace than we anticipated. In terms of incentives, we offer participants $50 in gift cards to a supermarket. They get $20 in gift cards after the first meeting with us and $30 in gift cards after the second meeting. And in terms of the response rate to the questions we send via text, we have not yet analyzed that data, but I should mention that I conducted a trial previously in WIC of a similar nature using text and also asked people to respond to questions via text. And we did find that the response rate was not great. I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but there were there was a large number of people who did not respond to the questions we sent via text. So I would love to hear any commentary on that and suggestions for improving the response rate.
So the $20 and $50, was that from a separate grant that you had applied for?
Oh, sorry, I forgot to respond to that question. So it was $20 and $30 for a total of $50. And yes, that came from an NIH. This grant, this study was funded by an NIH grant.
Okay.
Okay, not hearing any questions at the moment, I can go ahead and pose some discussion questions. One of the questions that I had was with regards to ways that we can gather more information about how participants interact with messages, such as whether they actually open the message. So I should mention that one limitation of this study was that we were unable to know whether participants actually opened the messages. So we can see on the website whether messages were sent, but we don't know whether they actually looked at them, opened them, read them. So I'm wondering if anyone on the call has thoughts about how we can gather more information about how participants interact with messages.
I had a question. I was really interested in, do you think that it would go over not just for pregnant women? Do you think that it would be something that you could use with small groups for increasing exercise or making a dietary change or do you think that it would transpose over into other things?
Yes, and I should also mention that I did conduct a previous trial focused on improving infant feeding and focused on breastfeeding as well. And I know there have been a number of studies using text message to educate on different topics in the nutrition field and also with regards to physical activity. And there have been some trials that have shown positive results. So yes, I would anticipate you could use this method to target a variety of different health-related behaviors.
Interesting. Thank you.
Welcome. Was there somebody else who was going to say something?
This is Sarah from SnapEd in DC. The platform that we use, we are able to see if they open the message. But we, this year, and I would think of this as our pilot year, we held one focus group and really got some very rich qualitative data about how the moms, and actually we had a couple grandmothers use the messages, and they had great feedback for us about what they'd like to see in the messages. So I'd partnered with a local university with their MPH program. So a couple of their students have used the text message program as their CE project, and they just brought so much experience and knowledge. So they pretty much designed the evaluation component of our text message program. So it's been helpful.
Excellent. Thank you. Yeah, that would be another good way to gather some feedback about the text messages as well as through a focus group. In my study, we're doing individual interviews, but I think it would also be helpful to use that method. So that may be something I would consider in a future trial as well, different ways of gathering data with regards to acceptability.
Hi, this is Mary. I'm with the Michigan Fitness Foundation. We use Easy Texting, and we use another program called Trumpia. Easy Texting doesn't give you the data that you're looking for on the open. It just tells you that the message was delivered. But Trumpia does give you that back click-through data, whether they clicked it open and if they did anything further. So I think it's just a matter of the platform that you use for what reporting you can get out of it.
Oh, that's great to know about a different platform. What was the name of that again? How do you spell that?
Trumpia.
Okay, Trumpia. Oh, that's great to know.
Yeah, not related to our president, but it is called Trumpia, and that's it's more expensive than easy texting, but it's more robust.
Oh, great. That's excellent to know.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, this is Virginia Chidas calling from the University of Nebraska. A couple questions. So I love the Trumpia. Thanks for clearing up that that's not related to the president. But I wondered if you have tried contacting other departments within your university that might, you know, like the computer IT folks, that might have other means of getting at the data that you're looking for. So that was one question. The other question I had was whether you are assessing your participants' level of readiness for change. I'm always curious, you know, when we talk about evaluation, like where are people in terms of, you know, whether they're ready or not to hear the messages that we might be delivering. So I'm curious if you're attempting to collect that type of data to assess whether or not your messages are effective. That could depend on, you know, where people are in their readiness to change.
Thank you for those excellent questions. So in response to the first question about contacting IT, that is a good idea. We had not contacted them, so I wonder if there would be more information we could gather. I guess I'm thinking in terms of, you know, studies that use a interactive website, you know, probably in those cases, one could work with IT to know how much time people spent on a page and where they're navigating. So perhaps there could be additional information we could gather in collaboration with them. So that's a good suggestion. With regards to participants' level of readiness for change, I think that's also an excellent idea, as we did not assess that. So it's possible that some of the messages we sent may not have been relevant to all participants. We did include messages that would target people across the spectrum of readiness for change. So we had some messages that were more informational, discussing, you know, why it may be important to consume sufficient fruits and vegetables during pregnancy, so targeting people at the earlier stages of change, and then those that are targeting people at later stages of change, so focus more on giving them the skills and knowledge needed to actually make the change. So I think it would be very useful to perhaps target the messages more individually to participants. So if we had more information about the participants, I think sending individualized messages would really be of interest. So that's something I'd like to consider for future trials. For this trial, the messages were the same for everyone and not individualized. So I have another question I can pose. My question is, what might be other ways to reinforce the intervention delivered via text? So thinking, for example, of feedback on a website. So other ways to reinforce that information that participants are sent via text. I would love to hear your suggestions.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, this is Katie Funderburg. I'm in Alabama with SnapEd. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, sorry, I kept getting some weird feedback. But we use texting with a couple of different interventions now, mostly to reach parents whose children are involved in an intervention that has a parent component tied to it, like maybe sending home recipes or handouts or something. And we'll enroll them in text messaging using another platform I haven't heard mentioned called Simple Texting. That sounds similar to maybe Trumpia. But it has a lot of analytic features and polls. You can poll participants and add links and things like that. So one way that we'll supplement that information we send in a text is to make sure that it's aligned with the same themes, of course, that we're sending home in handouts or nutrition education reinforcement items. And then an additional, usually what I'll do at the beginning of an intervention is send a link to our social media site and say to follow us on Facebook for more information like this, because we do have a active social media presence as well that I'd like for those people to be involved with in addition to texting. So I always try to send out that link to let people know there's other sources of electronic information besides text. And then you can see the click-throughs as well. So you could see how many people you sent that to and then how many people actually clicked through the link to go and see your site. And then what I'll do throughout an intervention is share links to short little recipe videos we may post on social media and on our website through the text messages as well.
Excellent. That seems an excellent way to gather more information about how people are interacting with the materials provided as well. So I think that incorporating social media is something I would really like to consider, as well as perhaps, incorporating a website or an application that would allow for delivery of information in a different format.
Mm-hmm. I agree, because one thing we found, it's a little harder to evaluate social media, effectiveness of any of the messaging. You can see the reach that you have and the followers. But if you link to texting some of your other initiatives, if you have social media or a website, texting is one avenue where it's a little bit easier to evaluate. So because you can ask the participants, like you said earlier, questions and get their feedback through a text. So if you've invited them to look at your website or follow you on social media through texting, you could actually go back later and ask them if they did and get a little bit of feedback there. Your response rate's always going to be low, maybe 10 to 20% of the people that I send a text question to on any given day, I'd get a 10 to 20% response rate. But I've heard other people say that that's a pretty decent response rate as far as, survey responses are concerned. So,
yes, we also struggled with getting enough people to respond to our questions via text. So if anyone has suggestions as to how to improve response rates or any other suggestions about how to gather that information, apart from an interview, I suppose, I would love to hear that as well.
Well, this is Katie again then, because I heard from, maybe it was Maryland, because the Text to Be Healthy program they have there. I had a webinar a while back, and I could be mistaken in the source, so forgive me if that's not correct, but someone who had a testing program before Alabama did had suggested that sending out a text prior to a poll question to let them know we're going to be sending questions out and we hope we get your responses. So we might say something like, next week we'll ask you some questions. We hope you can give us an answer. Your feedback is valuable to us, or something like that in a simple to understand short text message. And then that way they've gotten a heads up that there's poll questions coming. And then right before we sent one, we'd say something like, we'll send a question in about 15 minutes. We hope we hear from you. you know. And so when I tried that, I actually tracked the responses, and it did go up a pretty good bit from when I was just trying to send a question around the same time as I would generally send a normal text. So I did find that that helped increase the response rate, at least with, you know, an individual question, just giving some type of heads up that a question was coming.
That's a really excellent suggestion, given that it's so simple to do that. We could easily just program another message to be sent along with all the others that are programmed to be sent in our intervention. And it's very low cost and simple. I really like that idea.
Hi, this is Mary. Sorry, go ahead.
Hi, my name's Julie Ruther, and I'm from the New York State WIC program. And somebody on the call mentioned that they conducted focus groups, I think from Washington, D.C. maybe, and they evaluated text messaging in their focus groups. And I'm wondering, in addition to that, were there any other ways that their focus groups were helpful in designing messages and informing their evaluation? Was there anything specific that they were able to gather from that, those focus groups?
Yes, they told us some topics they would like. They wanted more recipes on fruits and vegetables, which probably coincided with the summertime. We held the focus group a month ago. They wanted more messages on activities to do indoors when it rains. So
okay.
When the kid, They also talked about having multi-generational families in the home. So because of the high cost of housing. So they requested messages geared to older adults. They talked about, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
They liked
this is the beauty of qualitative research, right?
They
go ahead, I'm sorry.
No problem. They appreciated the tone of the messages. They did not feel like the messages were talking above them. And we didn't really ask them, so we didn't prompt them for that type of response. And they wanted more resources for free food. They talked about, so this was in D.C., and they live in D.C., but traveling to Virginia and Maryland to access programs that provide free food. Food, be it a food pantry. So that was informative to us.
Yeah. That's great. Thank you for sharing that.
Hi, this is Mary from the Michigan Fitness Foundation again. I'm wondering if you have data about how many of the people you're texting use the Q-Link, the free government phones.
How many what? Sorry, could you repeat that?
How many of the mobile users are using the free government phones?
Oh, are using the free government phones? No, we don't have information about that.
So I think something I've been researching for our own campaign is that they get their phones and they reload their mobile data at the beginning of each month. They have free unlimited texting and unlimited photo data, but they can't, if they use up their minutes, so to speak, you can just text or send messages, but you can't get them to link to a website because they run out of data. So they can either buy more data or wait till the beginning of the next month. So I wonder if you're setting your campaigns up, if you set them to flow at the beginning of the month rather towards the middle or end when they might be out of minutes, you might get better engagement because they may be out of mobile data and they're not going to click on that link. And even if they do, they can't get online.
Oh, that's a really good tip. Yeah, so in our messages, we didn't include links to any insights. But for future interventions, that is a very good tip. Thank you.
Janine, I have a question here from a participant who unfortunately is having some audio issues. So this is from Susan Buchanan, and she wants to know what was the ethnicity of the participants and were messages tailored to cultural practices?
Okay, so I don't have that data on hand yet since we're still collecting the data, but our participants should be mostly white and Asian. I'm sure have some Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islander participants as well, and probably a very small number of African American and Hispanic participants, as most clients should be white, Asian, and Native Hawaiian or Pacific Islander. And for the second question, can you remind me of the second question again?
Yes, were messages tailored to cultural practices?
That's right. So yes, we mainly ensured this via the review by the OBGYN, who has extensive experience working in the low-income population in Hawaii. So she did a review of messages to make sure that we were using terminology that was appropriate for the target population. And so this was the main way we addressed that.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. I do have another discussion question here, and that is, what are some factors that lead to successful retention in programs that involve delivering education via text? So thinking, for example, of researchers paying for cell service during participation if people are likely to have a disruption in their cell service. So again, what factors might lead to successful retention in programs that involve delivering education via text? So I guess one factor that might come to my mind is perhaps monitoring people's responses to the questions that are sent in the course of the intervention. And if there's no response on the part of the participant, perhaps having some other method of contacting the participant to ensure that they're still engaged in the program and that they will be continuing with the program to the end. So perhaps having some method of following up with people during the intervention to ensure their continued participation. We'd love to hear any other suggestions that others have. Or any other questions as well are welcome, or comments.
I have a couple more questions that came in again from Susan. What do people think about the frequency of the weekly texts? She says that that seems relatively infrequent compared to other text interventions published in the literature.
Sure. So we don't have that data quite yet, but I can talk about the results of our previous trial that was also in WIC, as I mentioned, which was focused on breastfeeding and appropriate complementary feeding for infants. In general, people liked the frequency of the text. That was one of the questions that we asked them via text, and I think perhaps also in the qualitative interview, whether they liked the frequency of the messages. And in general, people said that that was a good frequency. They were pleased with that. But I should mention that in our previous trial, we didn't see any effect of the intervention on infant feeding or infant weight. So I was wondering if perhaps that could be one thing we could modify in a future trial. So maybe if we had sent more frequent messages, we would have been helping to convey more information and promote behavior change. So this is one thing that we could potentially explore in a future trial. It may be better to send more frequent texts.
Great. She also says that someone asked about what can be gleaned from the focus groups. She says that they gathered data on what types of food, namely fish, people were eating and how they were preparing it, as well as cultural practices around foods and food prep.
Yeah, it seems focus groups could be really useful in terms of development of messages, perhaps in terms of getting a better idea of what specific foods to mention in the text messages, to tailor them more specifically to the target population.
Thank you.
The floor is open for other questions or comments. One thing I would also be interested in is some other platforms people have used in text message interventions. Others have other platforms in mind that they have really found to be useful in such interventions. I would love to hear about that. And then any other interactive components of interventions that have been also included in interventions using text. So if people have included a lot of other supplementary material on a website or via other means, I would love to hear about that as well. And I guess I can make a comment along those lines as people are thinking about these questions. And that comment would be that in our previous trial, which we conducted both in Hawaii and in Puerto Rico, we had an issue with use of the Easy Texting platform in Puerto Rico. So some of the cell phone carriers were not compatible with that platform, and people were not able to receive messages using that platform. So for select participants in Puerto Rico, we had to use another web platform. So that's one difficulty that we ran into. And so I would be very interested to know about all potential platforms that are out there that could be used for interventions involving text, and to take into consideration any issues that may arise with use of particular platforms. I should also mention that we did publish a paper that reviewed lessons learned from our previous trial involving use of text in WIC. And so we discussed that particular issue that came up with use of the easy texting platform. So I would be very happy to share that paper with anybody who's interested. I'm not sure the best way to do that. Maybe Rachel can advise, but I'd be happy to send that to you via email or share it in any other way. So it talks about development of our text message-based intervention and lessons learned from that previous intervention.
Yeah, if you want to just send me any resources you wish to share with everyone, and then I can include it in the follow-up email I'll send this week along with the recording for the call.
Okay. I will do that.
Perfect.
I can send a couple papers on that intervention in case anybody wants to see all the information we have about that, because we essentially use the same methodology, just focused on infants.
Hi, this is Mary again. I wanted to just, for the Puerto Rico piece, it seems that a lot of people use WhatsApp, and Facebook recently purchased WhatsApp, so you should be able to follow along on their business platform and see how you can reach out to people in from Puerto Rico down to Central America. It is the number one app for communicating, and it's voice over IP, so it doesn't eat up a data plan that's web-based.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Thank you for that suggestion. That's a great tip.
Okay. This is Rachel. I was just going to add, as I was listening to you talk, you know, SNEB is launching a digital technology division. These all sound like excellent topics that that division would be looking at. I know Sue Sun, I think, is on the call as well, and she's one of the organizers of that division. So it sounds like we've hit on a topic that that division may focus on.
Excellent. Yeah, I hope to receive further information about that, definitely. So I will be in touch with Sue Sun. Well, hearing no more questions or comments at the moment, I'm happy to finish up there if this seems like a good point to finish.
Sure. So if there aren't any more questions, we can go ahead and wrap up. And if you come up with anything later, feel free to shoot them over to staff, and we can make sure we get them over to Janann, and she can respond to those for you. So thank you for participating today. Watch again for an email that will come out this Friday. That will include links to the recording of this call, as well as that resource that we just discussed. Be sure to register for our upcoming webinar. That's on next Wednesday, June 27th, focused on stress eating. So that concludes today's discussion. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.